Hi, everyone. You're listening to Who I Met Today, and I'm your host, Pam Lamp. I'm all about doing one tiny new thing every single day. And on this podcast, I invite you to come along with me and discover something new through conversations with people from all walks of life. I hope you enjoy listening to these interviews and exploring new territory with me. For more people stories and episodes, please visit my website, whoimettoday.com. My guest today is Cindy Burnett, the host of one of my favorite podcasts, Thoughts from a Page. Cindy knows more about books and authors than almost anyone else I know, and she's here today to share some great reads to tuck into our beach and travel bags this summer. Cindy, welcome back.
Hi, Pam. I'm so glad to be here again.
I'm thrilled to have you here. Back in January 2023, you were my very first guest on the Who I Met Today podcast. You came on, you helped calm my nerves and reassure me, and you offered some very well-received book recommendations. So, listeners seem to like to hear about books. I know I do. And with all the traveling and downtime and the slower pace people have in the summer, I thank you for returning to share with us some of your recent favorites. Before we jump in, for those listeners who aren't familiar with your book background, can you give us a cocktail version of all you do?
Absolutely. So I have an Instagram account. That's where I started. It's Thoughts from a Page. I have been in and out on that, but lately that's been one of my priorities to focus on the Instagram account again. I have a literary salon here in Houston that you have been to and actually helped out with at one point, where we bring in authors from different places in the country, and it's at my friend's house, and it's just wonderful. Casual, brings readers and authors together. I just love it. I write a couple of book columns for a magazine here in Houston, and I have a podcast myself, Thoughts from a Page.
Which I love. You interview authors and people in the book business. And for people who enjoy reading as much as I do, it's a wonderful resource. I hope you don't mind me saying that I've watched your podcast grow from, I'll call it a hobby, something you were passionate about, into a full-fledged business. And you have all kinds of things you're doing. I can't believe you even sleep. And even since the last time we've talked, you've implemented some new things, one of which is your literary lookbook. Can you tell us all what that is?
Absolutely. Kelly Hooker is a close friend of mine, and she has an Instagram account, Kelly Hook Reads Books. And she and I decided that we're always looking ahead and trying to figure out what's coming, but there's no one place where all of these titles are accumulated. So when you're trying to pull stuff together, you're pulling it from here, you're pulling it from there, and there's no comprehensive list. So in the fall, we launched our first one, which we sold for $10, and it had 182 titles that were coming out from January to May. We are now working on our next round, which will be from June to October, but we'll also pick up some ones in May that had not been announced yet. And we're already, I think, close to 300 titles. There are so many books coming out, and it's been so well received. I think it's a great way, as I mentioned, to have so many book titles in one place. And we do it by pub date with the book cover, because I'm a very visual person. So you can look and know what the cover looks like in case that's the way you look for books as well.
Well, and it's fun for book clubs because you can peruse this book or this document and have some really good ideas for what your next book club read might be. And I'm glad to hear that you're doing another one. That was one of my questions. Cindy, tell us about your Patreon group. I have a feeling a lot of listeners might not know what that term even means.
Patreon is a platform that was launched years ago by, I'm pretty sure, artists who were trying to find a way to do their work and have a business, but be supported. If people wanted to support them, this was one way to do it. Well, it took off, and now all sorts of creators are on Patreon, from booksellers to podcasters to artists to bookstores, authors, all sorts of people. And so I decided that I wanted a group of readers that could come together, create a community in addition to my podcast. So it's an extra thing on top of my podcast. So you can pay either $4 or $8 a month, depending on the level you want to join, or $15. That's my Royal Readers. And you can have a variety of benefits. On my lowest level, the page turners, you can have access to a monthly book club where you get a book, a NetGalley widget, and we meet with the author pre-publication. And then there are a couple different episodes that come out a month. And then for Lit Lovers, which is $8, I have this really fun traveling galley program where 3 to 4 books in print a month are offered up and people mail them around to each other. And that has been so popular. I was really surprised at how well received that one was. I thought it was a fun idea, but I didn't realize that people were really going to love it. And then a couple more episodes that are offered at that level. And then the royal readers, they can actually sit in on an interview once a quarter and ask a question.
So interesting. Cindy, let's go back to the $4 version. You said that those subscribers can receive a NetGalley widget. Why don't you explain that for those that aren't familiar with that term?
Of course. So most of the books that I read early. And so they are in a pre-publication form, and they are either what's called a galley, which is a print version of it, sometimes a manuscript, it depends on how early it is, or it's read digitally, and that's through two different platforms, one of which is NetGalley. And so they call the actual book a widget. So if you sign up for one of my upcoming author events, then I have the widget, which is really just a digital file of the book, and I forward it to you, and then you can download it to your Kindle, your iPad, I think the Nook, a variety of places, and read it ahead of time. And then we meet on Zoom, and I also record the author interviews so people can watch them afterwards. So it's been really fun. And every author says, you're the first group I'm getting to talk about this book with. So that's been really fun.
It's so much fun to read an advanced copy. And I get a few here and there. I do belong to NetGalley. It's free to join. But you are, I am sure, overwhelmed with early copies that you get digitally and in the mail. How do you decide what you're going to read?
I'm going to back up a little bit because NetGalley is free, and I'm glad you mentioned that. It is super easy to join. You do not have to be a reviewer, a bookseller, anything. You can just create an account for free, and then if you want the widget from me, I send it to you and you download it. So that is a great point because that's been a hiccup for a few people. They were worried, I don't know NetGalley, I don't know how to do this, I don't review normally. I do ask that if people get the widget that they review it somewhere like Goodreads or Barnes & Noble, but that can be like 2 or 3 sentences. It doesn't have to be endless paragraphs, just because that's how the publisher is happy to have people reading early. So I just wanted to comment on that because joining NetGalley is so easy.
Appreciate it.
And now I've promptly forgotten your question.
I asked, with all the early reads that are mailed to you or delivered to you digitally, how do you decide what you're going to read? I'm sure you're familiar with some of the authors and those are automatic reads for you, but what about the others?
Well, I get pitched probably 100 books a week. Emails just constantly come in. So I often will say, that's not really in my genre. I don't read that type of book. No, thank you. So the ones that I have said yes to, I feel like I probably need to get read. So most of the time I try very hard to do that. Same with NetGalley. I really only download those books that look appealing to me. And the longer I do this, the better I get at thinking, okay, this book is going to work for me or this book isn't going to work for me. Now, that doesn't always happen. There are still times when I don't like something or I miss something that didn't sound good and then everybody's raving about it. But generally, I have a pretty good sense. So yes, authors that I love, like Fiona Davis, Jane Harper, certain people, I'm always going to read their books. So as soon as I learn they have a book, it's at the top of the list. Flynn Berry, there's just a variety of those. But others, I am what's called a mood reader, which means I really just read based on my mood. Some people are way more organized than I am, and they organize it all by pub date and the order they're going to read in and the season they're going to read in. But mine's more like, I'm in the mood for a thriller. I think this book is calling my name. So it's pretty much that. Other than I do read and make sure I like every single book before I agree to an interview on the podcast. So I do have to prioritize those if I'm working ahead. I usually book 2 to 3 months out at least. So if I think, oh, I'm going to want to interview Laura Hankin, who I'm going to talk about her book in a few minutes, then I make sure I get it read so we can get the interview scheduled.
Do you read differently in the summer? I know in the summer, beach reads are always advertised, and I think there are a variety of different beach reads, but do you tend to go lighter in the summer?
I probably do. I'm not a huge light reader. I'm not a huge dark reader, and I'm not a huge light reader. I kind of stay in the middle. That seems to be my perfect spot. So I wouldn't say that I read lighter in the summer. I find that I read differently in November and December more than anything because there's so much less coming out. And like particularly in 2024, anytime there's an election year, almost nothing comes out in November. So that means that I have a lot more time to either be reading ahead or to catch up on some backlist that I missed the first time or just didn't know about.
Well, I love the list that we're about to dive into. It contains titles in all sorts of genres, something to please every reader, in my opinion. And not only have I not read any of these, with the exception of one, I hadn't heard of any of these. So I thank you very much for compiling this list for us. So without further ado, Cindy, I can't wait to hear what you're going to share with us.
So my first book is Dixon Descending by Karen Uten, and this came out in February. I loved this book. I am always so interested in stories that are set in the outdoors and hiking and focused around things like that. And the premise of this book is two brothers who decide to be the first Black men to summit Mount Everest. So Dixon and his brother Nate start training, getting ready to climb the mountain. They've always been very competitive with each other, but Dixon's the younger son. And even though he's younger, he's always been responsible for Nate. Nate is the one who always wants to head off on some project and things always go awry. So Nate talks Dixon into climbing Everest and they head out after they've trained and things go drastically awry. You don't know exactly what happens. That's part of the mystery of the book until toward the end. And the story toggles back and forth between climbing Everest, which I found fascinating. She does a beautiful job of bringing Everest to life and what it would be like to hike and the conditions that you're in and all of that. And then toggles forward to Dixon and what's happening with him after their climb. So it's one of those stories that there's a lot of suspense building. You really empathize with Dixon, but you're not exactly sure what has happened. And I just thought it was so well done. And that is Dixon Descending by Karen Uten.
I think that sounds very interesting because I've seen several documentaries on Mount Everest and they're just fascinating. I wonder how she did her research. Have you interviewed the author?
I have, and it's actually one of my favorite interviews, and I've had so much good feedback on it. You know, sometimes you just really gel with people, and I did that with her. She just studied it and watched all these documentaries and read books and all of that, because I said, have you been there? And she's like, no, I don't even like to hike. So I thought that was kind of funny. But the other interesting thing is, because for my Patreon group, for my Lit Lovers level, the $8 level, every other month, I do three fiction, nonfiction pairings. So I'm always looking for books that I can pair together. And I knew this would be a great one because there's a lot of nonfiction about Everest. And in April, there's another book coming out called Everest Inc., which is a nonfiction book about Everest and the business that it's become and how expensive it is and what it's like to actually climb it. So I'm planning to pair the two of those together at some point.
Well, I will put all of these in the show notes, and I'll also add any podcasts that Cindy has done with author interviews so that those are all handy for everyone. What's next on your list?
So the next is by an author that I mentioned a little while ago, Laura Henkin. Have you ever read her before, Pam?
I have not. This is a new one for me. I was not familiar with her.
So her book, The Daydreams, was a big hit with me last year or year before last, whenever it came out. And this is her latest, and it's called One Star Romance. And it is a rom-com, but Laura always infuses her stories with a lot of interesting ideas and humor. So while it is a lighter book than she's normally written, there's still a ton to think about in the story. So what happens is Natalie and Rob are polar opposites, and they get thrown together as maid of honor and best man in their best friend's wedding when they get married together. Natalie has written a book, and she sees that a one-star review shows up a couple days before the wedding. Right as they're getting ready to walk down the aisle, or the ceremony's beginning, Natalie realizes that Rob wrote the one-star review. So they had kind of bonded a little bit ahead of time. And now she is up in arms, like, what in the world? Why would he have done that? So of course they become enemies, but the story unfolds over probably close to a decade, at least 7 or 8 years. And they keep getting thrown together again because of their best friends. So it's just what happens as they continue to get to know each other and you understand why he gave her the one-star review. And I just loved it. It definitely has some very thought-provoking elements to it, as well as a lot of humor and a sweet romance.
Well, I want to read this one too, Cindy. Romance is not always my chosen genre, but that's the fun of talking to you. You encourage me to pick up books that I might not otherwise choose. So I'm going to get this one. And is it out now?
This one comes out in June. The rest of them will have been out earlier in 2024.
Okay, great. What's number three?
Number three is one of my favorite books of the year. I just love this book. I know it will be in my top 10. I learned about it last fall when I was at a bookseller conference because I'm affiliated with the bookstore here in Houston. So I get to go to these conferences. And all the publishers were raving about this one. And it's called The Husbands by Holly Gramazio. And I've already interviewed Holly, so I'm thrilled to pieces. That interview will run in April. It stars Lauren, who is single, and she comes home one night from a night out with friends. She's been drinking, arrives at her flat, and there's a man there. And he claims to be her husband, can't figure out why she's freaked out by this man in her apartment, her flat, because it's in London. And the walls look different. She looks at her phone, and this guy is in the photo with her. She calls a friend. They're like, yes, of course you're married. So she's like, what is happening? So she decides to go to bed. And the next morning she'll wake up and she thinks everything will be better. She wakes up. The husband is still there. She is madly trying to figure out what's going on. He goes up into the attic to retrieve something. He comes back down and it's a different husband. And the apartment looks different and her phone has this new person on it. So then what continues to happen is every time he goes up, whoever the current husband is, goes up into the attic, a new husband comes down. So I was so intrigued with this premise. And I thought, where is she going to go with it? How's this going to play out? And I loved it. There are a variety of husbands at the beginning, but I love that part of it. Lauren trying to figure out, okay, I really like this about this guy, or I don't like this guy. How can I get him back into the attic? And just kind of everything that we have available to us today. I mean, I know we've talked about this before. Like, you try to decide what to watch on television, there's 1,000 choices. You try to decide what to read, there's 1,000 choices. You decide, I guess, if you're dating, there's 1,000 choices. And so Holly said she got the idea from her friends on dating apps and they were just swipe, swipe, swipe. And I was like, what a clever premise. So I really loved the way that it unfolded. It is not a Groundhog Day. So it's not like she wakes up every morning and nothing's changed. As the story progresses, her life moves forward. Sometimes she has different jobs. I don't want to have any spoilers, but different things occur based on these different husbands. So I just thought it was such a great premise and I loved it. And that's The Husbands by Holly Gramazio.
How do these authors come up with these unique stories? I had read that she is a game designer in London, which I thought was kind of interesting. She founded a game design festival over there. Did you know that?
I did, because I've interviewed her, so I had reviewed her bio. But she also created a husband, like, what does she call it? A husband creator app. So when she was trying to come up, one of my questions for her was like, did you have a ball coming up with all these husbands, like trying to decide what their characteristics were going to be and their names? And she said, oh yeah, I just created a little simulator and it just kept generating new husbands for me. And I'd be like, no, I don't like that. Oh yeah, I like that. And she said there were at least 30 or so husbands that had to be cut out from the book when she turned it into her editor. So that had to be the fun part, is just endlessly creating these husbands, some good, some bad.
I look forward to listening to that interview, and I'll be sure and put that episode in the show notes. All right. I think you have a history novel coming up.
That's right. My next one's historical fiction, The Berlin Letters by Catherine Ray. And the particularly fun part about this is that Catherine and I were sorority sisters at Northwestern.
No way.
And I just recently interviewed her and we reconnected. So it was really fun. I hadn't seen her in years or talked to her. And she's had a variety of books, but this is the first one I've read. And it was really fun to get to chat with her about it.
Oh, I bet.
So this one is set during the Cold War. I know that this is a common topic. People are tired of World War II. And I do love World War II. And I still will occasionally read one, because I just find it such a fascinating time period. But now I have kind of moved my attention to the Cold War because it is equally fascinating. And so this one is set in Berlin. It toggles between the US and Berlin, but the main portions of the book are set in Berlin right around the time that the Berlin Wall went up. So Catherine does the best job of merging so much fascinating history with this very fast-paced, almost thriller, as the main character, Louisa, heads to Berlin to try to save her father. So it's really interesting story. I didn't know very much about the Berlin Wall, which I didn't even realize I didn't know, and the way it all went up overnight and how it morphed over time. And she just included so many cool details, but also a very well-crafted story with characters that I was rooting for.
Well, I think this one sounds so good, and it contains all of the things that I love: history, mystery, espionage, thriller. And I noticed when I was researching her, Catherine, that on her website, it says that she's willing to virtually visit with book clubs, and it lists a way to contact her. So that would be a fun read for people and include her in the discussion.
I agree with that completely. And I know she's already doing that this week because we're talking the week of her pub date. And so she is doing that with several big groups online, but I know she's happy to do it. And she's very interesting and is so articulate. She's able to just pull any fact out. And I was asking all these questions and she could just immediately answer them. I was very impressed. And my next one is one we talked a little bit about already, A Game of Lies by Claire McIntosh. I am a huge Claire McIntosh fan. She's one of the ones, like we were talking about before. If Claire has a book coming out, I'm going to read it. I've read almost everything she's written. This book is the second in a series, but I think it can definitely be read as a standalone. So I went ahead and included it. She does a good job of regurgitating enough about the characters from book one that come into book two that you could easily leap in here. Claire lives in Wales now, and so these books are set in Wales. And a new trend, especially for thriller writers, is to set stories around reality TV. I am not a huge reality TV watcher, but the whole trend fascinates me, like how obsessed people become with reality TV and how scripted it really is when it seems like it's reality TV and all of that.
Absolutely.
So I am here for all of these books that are set against the backdrop of reality TV shows, even though I don't really watch many of them myself. So in this one, there is a reality show being set in the mountains of Wales, and seven people are cast and they don't realize what they're being cast for. This show requires that each character has a secret, and if they can hold on to their secret and it doesn't get told to the rest of the group or on national television, then they will be the winner. But there's all these terrible ways that they go about trying to find out the secrets. In the midst of this, one of the people goes missing. And so the police get called in to try to determine what happened. One of the things I really like about Claire is that she is such a good plotter. You're reading and you're trying to figure out what's going on. She doesn't give away too much, but she gives away enough that you feel like the ending is very plausible. And I really thought the resolution for this one was outstanding. This was a 5-star read for me. And that is A Game of Lies by Claire McIntosh.
Well, this book is probably my pick for my first summer getaway, either on a plane or at the pool. I just think it sounds perfect. I read Hostage by Claire McIntosh and really, really enjoyed that one. I have not read the first one in this series, The Last Party, and I will probably read that one before I read A Game of Lies.
I think you definitely can. And it makes sense because then you get to know it's two detectives, one on the Welsh side and one on the British side, because this mountain lake town sits right on the border. So there's a lot of interesting details about all of that, too, in jurisdiction and what's happening. So definitely, I am always of the mind that if you can read the first one, you should. But if you can't, I think you can definitely drop into A Game of Lies. And this one actually came out in the UK summer 2023. So I ordered it from there because I didn't want to wait because it was coming out in the spring here and I knew it'd be a while in the galley. So I just ordered it from Blackwell's and read it as soon as I could.
Well, another fun fact from my research, Claire has a book club and you can read more about that on her website if anyone is interested in an online book club.
I didn't know that. And the other fun fact about Claire is the same period of time that this book is coming out, she has a book that just came out on grief. She had twin sons and one of them died at 5 weeks, 18 years ago. And so she just got to the point where she felt she could really write about it. She calls it a memoir, but it's in 18 sections and each is a promise. It's called, I promise it won't always hurt this much. And each one is like, I promise you'll eventually feel better. I promise you'll not be angry. And I just thought it was stunning. I've interviewed her for it. It was a rough interview for me just because I still struggle a lot with the grief of the loss of my parents. But I felt the book was more useful to me than anything else I have found related to grief.
Good to know. Very good to know.
It would be a great gift for anyone you know who's lost somebody.
Okay. Thank you, Cindy. All right. Do you have a couple more for us?
I do. The next one's actually nonfiction, Whiskey Tender by Deborah Jackson Taffa. I am always a huge fan of Indigenous stories. That is one of those subject matters that really appeals to me, and I'm always very interested, want to read as much as I can. So as soon as I learned about this book, I knew I had to read it. It's a memoir, Deborah grew up in the same window that I did, the 70s and 80s. And she talks about her own journey. And I'm going to put it in her words here. She's a mixed tribe Native girl born on the California Yuma Reservation and reared in Navajo territory in New Mexico. And she says she wanted to talk about that experience of coming from several different indigenous groups that you don't often see that type of story portrayed. You often see somebody talking about being a Navajo member or being a member of the Sioux tribe or whatever it is that they're a member of. But you don't learn as much about the mixed cultures, which I thought was fascinating. But the other thing that she does that was equally interesting to me is that she tells her entire story against the background of what's happening in the United States and what is changing in terms of the laws that are happening and impacting Native communities, but also all of the indigenous movements where groups are trying to reclaim Native lands, their culture, and their history, fighting against the idea that assimilation is the way to go. So I learned a ton. I read this book in a day. I often listen to nonfiction, but for this one, I just sat down and started reading it, and I literally could not stop. And it is just beautiful. She teaches writing, and she's just an absolutely beautiful writer.
Cindy, I want to read all of these. You've done a great job of finding something for every reader.
Thank you.
Cindy, do you have one more for us?
I do. Another book that I thoroughly enjoyed, and that is Everyone on This Train is a Suspect by Benjamin Stevenson. This one is set in Australia. Benjamin is actually a comedian with his twin brother, and it shows in this book. I will say this is a light book, and it is really funny, but it's a mystery. So I think those books appeal to some people, and they don't appeal to other people. If they're done well, they appeal really well to me. So this one is set on the GAN, which is a train that runs through central Australia, and Ernest Cunningham is an author. He's well known for his memoir, which was written in an earlier book, but definitely these read as standalones. And he now wants to write a fictional tale. He's asked to come on the GAN, and it's going to be part of a mystery writers conference. There are six mystery writers from all different types of genres within the mystery field. And they all get on the train. He's super excited, ready to start writing his book, and somebody gets murdered. So, of course, it's mystery writers. So they're thinking, well, they all should have the ability to murder somebody and get away with it because that's all they do is write about these types of crimes. But on top of that, what Benjamin does that is so much fun is that Ernest is talking to the reader the entire time. He breaks the fourth wall. It's like based on Agatha Christie, but then it takes Agatha Christie kind of two steps more. He talks to the reader and he talks about what's happening and he keeps up with the number of times that characters have been mentioned. He invites the reader to help him solve the crime. It's really fun if you like that type of thing. And I just think it's delightful. And that is Everyone on This Train is a Suspect by Benjamin Stevenson.
I looked this one up and it was classified under a couple of different categories. One was humor, one was lawyers and criminals humor, and one was adaptations and pastiche fiction. Have you ever heard of that?
I've heard that word, but I'm not sure I could actually tell you what it meant. But I think the adaptation part comes from Agatha Christie because it's this kind of locked room mystery on the train, though it's really not locked because they do stop places and everything. But you've got this group of characters and it is like an Agatha Christie, kind of like Murder on the Orient Express, except that it's very funny and he's talking to the reader and there's a lot more twists and turns than I think you see in an Agatha Christie. But yes, I agree with that adaptation. And I guess I'll have to look up what pastiche is.
I will too. Well, the problem with books is that the list is never ending. And unlike you, who reads 20 books a month, I don't read that many. So I'm going to have to get busy on these. And I thank you for this list. It is time for One New Thing. As you know, I always ask my guests what one new thing they've done or discovered lately. And I'm very excited to hear what you're going to share with us.
Well, I have two. I hope that's okay.
That's okay.
One is minor. I am really working on, at the age I'm at, making sure that I stay well. Both my parents didn't fare too well as they got older, and I think they weren't very active toward the end of their lives. So I am making it a goal of mine, even though it's not the beginning of the year. I'm going to start as soon as spring break is done and exercise at least 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week. If it's walking, SoulCycle, treadmill, the Y, whatever it is, I'm just going to make sure that I prioritize exercise and making sure that I stay healthy.
Good for you. Very
That's my
good
small
for you.
One.
Okay.
And then my big one, and this is something that I have been toying with for quite a while, and you and I have talked about this a number of times, but My podcast is two authors a week and then a behind the scenes episode. So I have at least 9 episodes a month. And I have loved doing that. There are so many good books that come out every single week. And I like to highlight as many as I can, which is why I have so many episodes, but it's exhausting. And so I have decided, even though it's going to be a little stressful and I feel bad cutting back because I can't highlight as many, that I'm going to go from the 9 episodes to 4 author interviews. So 1 a week. And then I'm going to have 1 kind of bonus episode where either I talk with Kelly Hooker or I talk with Miriam Pamela, or like you have come on before, where I have somebody different that's not an author come on and talk books with me. So that is my plan starting in May. And I'm really excited about it. A little nervous, but excited.
Well, and Cindy, 5 episodes is still a lot. As someone that knows how much time and energy goes into putting out a podcast, that's still an awful lot of work. So good for you for realizing that you do need to cut back a little. And I wish you a lot of success with that.
Thank you. And I love my Patreon group, and I want to make sure I have the time to devote to that, building a community. I think people really feel like it's nice to have a group that comes together and meets, gets to know each other. And I'd like to focus a little more on that. And I think this will allow me to do that.
Good, good. Especially with so many people working remotely and not going into the office and having a community every day.
I think that's exactly right.
Okay, my turn now. Recently, a few friends and I went to Dallas for a baby shower. We turned it into a fun weekend. And one of the women had used an app called Splitwise to keep track of expenses on another trip she'd been on. So we all downloaded, set up our group. It was great. Instead of keeping track of who paid for what, when someone in our group paid for an Uber or a lunch or a dinner or museum tickets, we entered the amount spent, one person entered the amount spent into the app, and it automatically kept track of all our money and who owed who what at one quick glance, and it was free. So that's my new thing. You're probably going to tell me that you've used Splitwise for years.
Well, some of my friends have. I have a couple different friends that I go on group trips with, and one of them has used it forever. So she always uses it when we go. And then a couple of others, sometimes we use it, sometimes we don't. But it is fun, especially when you have a bigger group. Like we have 6 with this group, and it really makes it easier when you've got 6. With just 2 or 3, sometimes it's just as easy to keep up with it ourselves. But I do like it when I've got a larger group.
Well, we had 4, and we all thought it was great. Cindy, thanks so much. I love your podcast and all you do. And I really enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you so much for having me again. It was really nice to be back, and I love your podcast as well.
Thank you. And that's it for today's show. A huge thank you to Cindy for joining me. By the way, I looked up pastiche fiction. It's defined as a work written in the style of another author. So, in terms of today's discussion, a work written in the style of Agatha Christie. If you enjoyed this episode, and I hope you did, I hope you'll listen to other episodes, spread the word about this show, and consider leaving a rating or review. A huge thank you to Brian at Top Tier Audio for his advice and guidance, and thanks to you for tuning in. And remember, I'd love to hear from you if you discover a fun new thing. My email is whoimettoday@gmail.com.